T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time for the Chiefs story we all forgot. Sometimes the bright lights of Patrick Mahomes has us distracted of everything else. Certainly the injury to Patrick Mahomes had us distracted this most recent game, right? So this is the time of the week where we go over our Chiefs story we all forgot. Fesco, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'll start out. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but not too much in depth. Anthony Hitchens was really, really good on Sunday, or on Thursday night. I think it's Sunday night, but on Thursday night.
I thought
Anthony Hitchens was fantastic. He had 2 sacks, and he hasn't had a sack since he's become a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. And he had 2 in that 9-sack game and was all over the field making tackles. And Anthony Hitchens came in as a very heralded free agent, one that they probably overspent for. And based on what we saw in the show that was on Amazon with the Dallas Cowboys, it looked like we got ourselves a player that Dallas was happy to get rid of. And last year, he didn't play all that well, obviously. This year, he hasn't played all that well. But Thursday night, man, I'm hoping Anthony Hitchens can use that as a springboard forward to become what we really need at that linebacker position. A guy who can fly around, who can make tackles, and who can get sacks of the quarterback. I thought Thursday night was a big, big, big moment for Anthony Hitchens, picking up those 2 sacks. Now, hey, let's move forward. Let's build on that, my man.
It was good. It was game, what, 23?
Yes, that's right.
Plus a couple playoff games. So game 23, finally showed
up. Finally showed up.
Awesome.
Hey.
Awesome.
But we need him to show. They're not going to be able to go out and get an inside linebacker. As you heard, Terrez Taylor played, and we'll hear it a little bit later on in the show. Terrez is basically saying, we're going to have to get better from inside. Guys are going to have to step up their game.
Not
guys are
going
to have to play
agency.
Better.
Or, I mean, in the trade market.
Yeah.
My story, we all forgot. It's Mecole Hardman time. As the full-time returner, he's got the breakaway ability. He looks like a guy that every time he touches a football can break it. He had that 36-yard punt return against the Broncos. Exciting return. That was the only return he had. Never got it again. To me, DeAnthony Thomas can be disposed of. Mecole Hardman is ready to take over the returner role. We don't need DeAnthony Thomas. He's not going to pitch in the receiving game. Mecole Hardman is. Hardman can handle both punt returns and kick returns. They're about even in their kick returns thus far. And I think he's a much better punt returner than is DeAnthony Thomas at this point in time. Mecole Hardman, to me, give him the reins. He's the punt and kick returner, and whatever he can give you on offense is a bonus. I'd go ahead and free up a roster spot for another position on the field that you need more of.
I don't disagree with that, and I think that was the plan early on in the season, but Mecole Hardman never really advanced to what they needed at the beginning of the year, so you kept DeAnthony around for insurance sake, but now I'm kind of with you. What's the point? Yeah, what's the point?
My Chiefs story we forgot. Chiefs scored early and often, man. That has been a real issue for this team over the last 3 games, but not against Denver. Now, Denver obviously reeling. It's the world of suck out there in Denver. But I think that's a big step forward. And while we all kind of got lost in the shuffle with Patrick Mahomes' injury, Matt Moore and that offense continued to go out there and convert their possessions into points. So one of them resulting in a field goal, obviously. But you want to know what? I think that right now when you have Matt Moore under center, that's kind of what you need to expect, is just convert them into points. I know you'd rather get 6 than 3, but I think it was important that the Chiefs offense scored early and often. What was it, 17 points in the first quarter of that game? So, yeah, keep rolling on that.
Yeah, keep rolling. They scored early in the game against Houston as well, had a 17-3 lead in that one. Obviously, that did not stand up.
They had 10 in the first quarter the other night, but scored early in the second quarter,
too. So you'll take those early points. Obviously, that's a good sign for this Chiefs offense that really, since week 1, has struggled to score early.
So that is the Chiefs story we all forgot. Our big story coming up, and Andy is up to a great trick. Hopefully it creates some problems for the Packers next.
Fesco in the morning.
Bunch of stuff to get to between now and 9. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. The Pats make a trade, we'll discuss. Andy may be up to a funky little trick as well, maybe causing some havoc in Green Bay. But first, the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
Big story today. Of course, Kansas and Missouri agreeing to renew their hoops rivalry, a 6-year contract beginning next year, December 12th, 2020 at Sprint Center. They'll play on both campuses twice and the Sprint Center twice. Of course, they haven't met in the regular season since 2012 when Missouri left for the SEC. Kansas Athletic Director Jeff Long joined us earlier in the show today on the Return of the Border Showdown.
Well, you know, when I arrived, I asked the question, you know, how did our coaches feel? We met as head coaches, certainly had individual conversations, and Bill was certainly very important to helping us get to a place to restart the rivalry. But, you know, I said the Kansas folks really needed to make this decision. So over the last 12, 14 months, I've listened to them and we've talked. And then ultimately, I think it came down to you know, our coaches and Coach Self, the rivalry was maybe slipping away, and we thought it was important for our program and for really our university and college basketball. It's a great rivalry. So, you know what, when the Kansas folks got momentum and got behind it, as I talked quietly, it felt like the right time to do it, and then we went to work with Jim to make it a reality.
So when Kansas was ready to talk, Missouri was more than ready to listen.
Sure, Missouri's always been ready to reestablish the rivalry. It's been a Kansas thing. We know that. That's public knowledge. Everybody knows Kansas held the cards to all of this. The interesting thing is both of those guys mentioned trust and trusting each other. That trust was not there for a while when Missouri left the Big 12. But for me, while I'm excited and thrilled that this game is coming back and I can't wait for it because it adds some intrigue to an otherwise mundane college basketball season until you get to the month of March, this is kind of a last-ditch effort to save college basketball and college sports in Kansas City. Since the split of the Big 12 Conference, this town has not reacted to college sports the same way. Missouri went their own way. Kansas and Kansas State went their own way. We didn't have the annual meetings between the schools anymore. And you could see college basketball and college sports in general not really be that important anymore in Kansas City. And that had to do with Sporting Kansas City winning a championship and having success, followed by the Royals, you know, having success and winning a championship, followed by the Chiefs getting all the way to the AFC Championship game and becoming a perennial playoff team with Andy Reid and the MVP of the NFL and Patrick Mahomes. Professional sports has taken over Kansas City like we never had before. College sports was always there to kind of fill the void of the professional sports for all the years that the Royals were losing and the Chiefs really weren't doing a whole heck of a lot in Sporting Kansas City. You know, they were the Wizards and they weren't really on the map as well. But then all of a sudden, our teams, our professional teams got good right at the same time the Big 12 Conference split up. It was almost like the perfect storm. We went from a town that loved and supported passionately college sports to a town that went, oh, college sports kind of ditched us with the splitting of the Big 12 Conference. And you know what? Our professional teams are really good. The Royals are winning a World Series. The Chiefs are going to the AFC Championship game. Sporting Kansas City's on top. I'm going to start spending my money to watch the professional teams that I love here in Kansas City. And college sports has taken a big-time back seat in this town. This is a way to generate interest in Kansas City for two universities that desperately need Kansas City behind them to support their cause.
You've mentioned to me over the last couple of years, you're like, man, you can get Kansas basketball tickets now.
Yeah.
Like with surprise, like, you know, it used to be you couldn't get in the door there. It's very difficult.
Right.
It's very costly to get in the door. And there's been advertising. I remember last year, you're like, man, Kansas tickets are available.
Right.
Yeah. It's sporting events all over the place are dealing with. You can't just open the doors and expect everybody to come anymore.
Right.
You got to figure out creative ways to do it. And the financial terms haven't been released, but we know it's going to be a financial boon for both.
Oh, absolutely. It should be.
Football is going to be as well. Mm-hmm. And it's
good for Kansas City to have these big events.
And both ADs acknowledge that football is going to be on the horizon.
Right.
And you can, I think, rest assured Arrowhead's going to be part of the mix. Could be something like this arrangement. But this one is Sprint Center and then back and forth to the campuses and then back to Sprint Center. Could see something like that. Could see an Arrowhead, a Lawrence, and a Columbia.
Right. Well, I just know Kansas is good enough to live up to its end of a bargain and get people at the game.
And maybe an Arrowhead on the backside of that one as well.
Yeah.
They'd come to that game.
The last couple of years at Arrowhead, the crowds have not been that good.
But I think that won't be a problem, and that one will get done sooner rather than later. The other sports as well, but starts first with basketball. We've got the gateway to get them going, and that's a good thing. So that's your big story. Kansas and Missouri, 6-year contract beginning next year, December 12th, 2020. Their meeting at Sprint Center.
And part of my plan is to make it part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge now and have it 2 games a year. Have the Big 12 SEC Challenge and have the non-conference
Which they
game.
Told us it won't be.
It won't be. But it should be. Play that game twice, because if you read the release from Kansas, they say in that release the only way to get tickets next year for that game at Sprint Center is to be a season ticket holder this year. And they say, and season tickets are still available. And I went, season starts Thursday. First of all, the season starts Thursday.
Correct.
But there's still season tickets available for Kansas basketball. That tells you where the actual going to the games is falling off, not just for Kansas, but for everything. They're trying to find ways to get you to go to the games again, and that's why you have to add in marquee matchups like this. That's going to get you to go to games. That's going to get you to buy tickets. It's a great move by both programs and an amazing deal done by Kathy Nelson to kind of bridge the gap here in Kansas City to kick this thing off next year. It's going to be a Kansas game, the first game. The second game at Sprint Center will be a Missouri game, and it's good for us in Kansas City because we need that infusion of college sports back, because it's been gone for almost 8 years now.
Andy Reid is a sly dog.
He really is, man.
Patrick Mahomes is doing some work in the pool already. He's been working in the training room, and he's doing his rehab on that injured knee. Andy Reid would not rule him out for Sunday's game.
Yeah, we're going to just see how he does. And, I'd probably say it'd be a stretch for him to get there, but he's working hard, and, from the information that we've had to this point, he's doing what he can do, and we'll just see how it goes. And but we're going to get Matt ready to go, on the other hand. So, that's where we're at right now.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Andy's comments fired up fans yesterday.
Oh, well,
more importantly, I'm all about wasting others' time.
Yep.
When it comes to preparation. And what I mean by that is Green Bay has to prepare at least some fashion for the potential of Patrick Mahomes playing for the Chiefs on Sunday. It's not likely. It's a long shot. But you have to prepare for anything and everything. And if you're wasting at least even a little bit of their time going over it, good job, Andy.
Yeah, more power to you. I think Andy is a genius with the way he's handling this. He could have very easily just got up there and said, yeah, Patrick Mahomes obviously is out this week, and it's not going to be a couple of weeks till he gets back out there on the field. But he got up there and he left that door wide open. And while some fans translated to that as, and I did see this on Facebook yesterday, Andy says if by Friday he can go, he's going to play. Nobody ever said that. That wasn't even close to being mentioned.
Oh, we'll see. That's how we roll. That's about what Andy was.
But you leave that door open, even if it's 1%, for the Packers to have to waste their time preparing for Patrick Mahomes. If he would have just said he's out, then the Packers would have spent no time preparing for Patrick Mahomes. But the fact that he's going to be listed as doubtful or whatever it is on the injury report, if you don't prepare for him, if you're the Green Bay Packers, and he does play by chance, then you've really done a disservice to your team, and you didn't put them in position to be successful and win. And so while he's not going to play, and I doubt highly that Patrick Mahomes is even near a pair of shoulder pads on Sunday night, you got to plant that seed for the opposition to think, he may have a chance to play, so we better figure out what we need to do if this guy does step on the field. Because the last thing you want to do is say, well, we weren't ready for Mahomes.
0% chance they're caring about this right now.
Oh, they are. They have to. Football coaches are wired that way.
Yeah, they work 18 hours a day. 0.1%
then?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. 0.1%? Football coaches are wired that way.
Absolutely. If you and I can figure it out, I feel like the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, but it doesn't have any impact if we don't prepare for it. It has an impact to them if they don't.
Right.
You're wasting their time.
You're wasting their
time. Which is awesome.
That's how we talked about it for the last 2 years now. The Chiefs are winning games on Monday and Tuesday because they're wasting the other team's time preparing for stuff that may or may not happen, and preparing for guys that may or may not play, and preparing for Mahomes and all this. They're winning games early in the week. They're making coaches outthink themselves. This is another instance of where another team is going to outthink themselves and prepare for something that probably won't happen.
Patriots not only roll in the Monday night game last night, 33-0 over the Jets, and do it very, they turned over Sam Darnold 5 times, moving to 7-0. Their defense looks outstanding. The offense can just do a little bit. They're the reverse, right? Just their defense is awesome, and just do enough on offense, and you're going to win a bunch of games. But they got better on offense today as well. Patriots trading with the Falcons for wide receiver Mohamed Sanu. They send a second-round pick to the Falcons, and the Patriots get another wide receiver target for Tom Brady.
And a lot of questions are coming in on Twitter and whatnot. Why aren't the Chiefs trying to go out and get a guy in a trade to make their defense better? I hate when I see why aren't the Chiefs trying. I mean, because that gives me the image that people think that Brett Veach is rolling in at 9 o'clock with Starbucks and bringing donuts from Dunkin' and sitting there and they're eating, you know, curlers and just enjoying the day. No, they are trying. They tried for the first player that was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers from Miami. What the heck was that guy's name? Minka Fitzpatrick. Yeah. They tried for him. Pittsburgh was offering and had the opportunity to offer a better draft pick because they're not as good a team as Kansas City. Then the Chiefs were definitely in it on Jalen Ramsey. But as I reported last week, the team in Jacksonville did not want to trade Jalen Ramsey to another AFC team unless they were willing to part with 2 firsts and a second. The Chiefs weren't willing to do that. Their goal all along was to trade him to an NFC team. So they were able to do that and traded him to an NFC team. It didn't fit. And New England now going out and getting Mohamed Sanu, and Josh is like, oh, they got to do it for second-round pick. Yeah, the guy who's the general manager in Atlanta owes his career to Bill Belichick, Thomas Dimitrioff. So don't you think the guy who got the job as the GM of the Falcons because of learning under Bill Belichick is going to help out the guy who was responsible for his career? Hell yes, he's going to do that. And so that's why the Patriots were able to go out there and get Mohamed Sanu for a second-round pick. The Chiefs are trying their damnedest to add players, but as we get closer and closer to the deadline, which is a week from today, it looks less and less likely that they are going to be able to acquire somebody that you heard of or that can truly make a big impact on this team.
Therese Paylor, Yahoo Sports, of course, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider. Therese Paylor show last night here on 610 Sports Radio on who the Chiefs could trade for, specifically defensively.
I think the Chiefs were dealt a dose of bad luck by the Cardinals suddenly deciding to wake up and play football. They're 3-3-1 right now somehow, and I don't think they're going to move Peterson. I mean, they're just at a point now where they're competitive. You know, Steve Keim is trying to like win enough games. So you're screwed. Unless something happens there, I don't think that's something that, you know, that they're going to move on right now. And then from there, listen, you can get some guys that might be out there, right? Like, you know, I'm thinking that it's good that the only thing out there that's like really available like are bad contracts. So I'm just telling you where I'm at right now is that this team's going to have to get better by internal improvement, because I'm just not hearing about a lot of candidates outside of the organization that are viable that will help you. It's just bad contracts right now.
Non-availability and bad contracts.
Correct, which are want two things that? You don't want.
Want any of that?
No.
I think it's that's our little dose of reality. Get better.
And that's why my story that we forgot, you mocked it a little bit and said, well, Anthony Hitchens finally 23 games in is doing something. We need him to do something, because I know from talking to enough people that the linebacker position is very hard to go out and acquire. Okay, I was told that last week. So they need some of these guys at that linebacker spot to step up and start playing some good football. Anthony Hitchens did that on Thursday night. He needs to use that as a stepping stone for the rest of the season, because if he can get better, then the defense is going to get better. If he can play better, the defense is going to play better. And that's really where we're going to see improvement. We're going to see improvement when Chris Jones comes back, when Anthony Hitchens takes his game to a new level, when Frank Clark starts playing better. Like, this is the reality now that we're looking at. Patrick Peterson probably is not going to get traded now. That was kind of that last-ditch superstar guy that the Chiefs were looking to add and could potentially add that could be a difference maker. They may pick somebody up, but I don't think they're going to pick somebody up that can be an impact defensive player like we all wanted 2 weeks ago for this football team. Guys are going to have to start earning their money, and guys are going to have to start playing better. And look, they got off to a great start for the rest of the season based on what they did Thursday night in Denver. Now they need to keep this show going.
Therese Paylor on who the biggest threat is to the Chiefs.
The Ravens. Oh, the Texans are Ravens, not the Colts. Like, I think the Colts are going to win 9 to 10 games. Very impressed with Frank Reich. Think he's candidate for coach of the year. But I think there's a difference between the Ravens and Texans. in those guys, because the Ravens and Texans both have quarterbacks that can beat you, whether it's Lamar or whether it's Deshaun Watson. Like, those, both those guys are going to scare you in January. Both of them can make plays. So, yeah, I mean, both those teams could beat you, theoretically. I think they're on a different plane than the Colts are.
Also, you could be battling those teams for that bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for that second spot in the postseason.
When I assume it was other than the Patriots.
Other than the Patriots, yeah, yes.
Who
yeah,
is,
yeah,
yeah, okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you hear those teams, when you hear Colts, Ravens, and Texans, do you immediately go, wow, that's daunting? Like, I hear that, I'm like, eh, so what? They beat the Ravens. They can beat the Colts. And I think Deshaun, I think they can. And I think Deshaun Watson is one of those guys that plays really good or plays really bad. Plays really good, plays really bad. Hasn't been consistent. They played really good against the Chiefs and then came out laid an egg the following week against the Indianapolis Colts. So like those three teams, I'm not scared by.
I hear three teams that are on your same tier. We thought we were on a different tier above them. We're not currently.
The three teams that have never been in my kitchen, too.
So those are the three teams that are in your tier. Patriots are on their own tier.
Right.
We were hoping at this point of the year it was Patriots, Chiefs, nobody else.
Right, but now it's the Patriots
and nobody else. And the Chiefs are on a tier with those three teams.
Right, and the Patriots right now are playing better football than, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I saw a team this good on both sides of the ball. And then you add to it with Mohamed Sanu, you just got better on offense, and you got the opposition talking about seeing ghosts on the sideline last night. That's how violent that defense was for Sam Darnold and the Jets. I mean, they shut out the Jets. They've not given up more than 14 points in a game. Like, that team is a tough, tough, tough football team, and they're doing everything seemingly right now.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
You just got to keep your composure and just keep being you. I think where you run into problems is when you start acting uncharacteristically and start trying to do too much, knowing that we just lost the best quarterback in the National Football League.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Killer Trav making the rounds yesterday. That was on NFL radio.
I thought he was injured. No one was going to be doting. Who knew?
The loss of Patrick Mahomes and what that means to him and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. They'll get by.
I think they will. I'm feeling not down in the dumps.
I feel fine.
I thought there might be a point where I might get. Oh, I really haven't since the shock of Thursday.
Everything's gotten better since then.
I'm like, okay, news is okay. Faith in Andy, Matt Moore can put an offense together. Mm-hmm. You got other guys that know they have to step up for the foreseeable future. Feeling all right about it.
Yeah. And again, as we talked about yesterday, these next two games being NFC games don't really factor into, you know, whether or not you're going to make the playoffs. This team's still going to win its division. This team is still going to make the postseason. This team is still in a fight for a first-round bye. Like, everything that you could possibly want is still right in front of you. You just got to go out there and play football. And by the time Patrick Mahomes gets back, it'll be time to check off all those other boxes and get moving in the right direction. The only game that could be a wrench in all of this is that game at Tennessee. If they lose that game, that could change things because it's an AFC game. So go out there for these next couple of weeks. Let's focus on the defense. Let's see if this defense can build on what they did against the Denver Broncos. And then by the time the 1st of December rolls around, if not sooner, Patrick Mahomes is back running this offense. Travis will be there healthy. Tyreek will be there healthy. Hopefully Eric Fisher will be back. He'll be healthy. Hopefully Sammy Watkins will get back. He'll be in there healthy. Then all of a sudden, as you're entering December with a lot of healthy bodies where a lot of teams are losing guys at this time of the year. The Chiefs are getting healthy at the right time of the year, December and January.
It's good to have early injuries. That's an interesting take.
Better than having late injuries.
If you're going to have them, it is.
Yeah, may as well get them out of the way early.
It's not like it was planned or anything.
If you want to dare to dream a little as well, Matt Moore, one start at Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh, yeah? How'd it go?
244 yards, okay. Three touchdowns, ooh, no interceptions.
Huh.
A 147.5 QBR.
And he
Matt Moore owns Arrowhead. Yeah.
In a blowout, right?
Anthony Fasano had two touchdowns in that game. It was like 34-3.
He gives you 244 and three touchdowns Sunday night. You might feel pretty good about where they're at.
17 of 23. Reggie Bush had 100 yards in that game.
Why can't he put up numbers like that, though? I mean, if you have that balance with Reggie Bush, if the Chiefs are focused and have that balance, why can't Matt Moore put up 240 yards and three touchdowns? With Tyreek Hill, with Travis Kelce, why can't he?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Chiefs win if Matt Moore duplicates those numbers.
Chiefs will roll Green Bay.
Well, it's just crazy to me, too, because I think that, you know, Alex Smith had Tyreek Hill. Alex Smith had Travis Kelce. He didn't have Sammy Watkins, but, like, he had a lot of these weapons. Alex Smith, I'm not, and look, I'm not
saying
Matt.
Running backs
at Kareem Hunt. I'm not saying Matt Moore equals Alex Smith, but, like, you have seen this with a quarterback who you don't put on. Yeah, but you've seen this offense with Andy Reid be productive with a quarterback that's lesser than Patrick Mahomes, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that Andy Reid is going to do his best to put people into good situations. I think he's going to scheme his best to be able to take some of that pressure away from Matt Moore. We talk about it all the time, kind of hiding some of the deficiencies that you have by trying a few other things here and there. I wouldn't be shocked to see more of that screen game. I know Kling was talking about that a couple weeks back, but getting the screen game more involved, I wouldn't be shocked to see some of that to Tyreek Hill this weekend either. So, like, take some of that pressure away from him. But, yeah, you've seen over Andy Reid's tenure here in Kansas City that he has been able to do more with less. And now you are kind of forcing your hand to do more with less.
Well, I think hopefully
more with more, I guess.
Yeah, but hopefully Andy is, you know, kind of save those Alex plays and dust them off. I think those guys save everything, right? You get out that binder of what worked with
hopefully
Alex.
He's got
Smith
all those checkdowns, just
whatever works, man. Because, well, I mean, like I said, I don't really want you to change all that much. I still want you to take shots at the deep ball and all of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, you got to put your quarterback in the best position to win. The only hang-up for me and why this is different than Alex Smith is because you don't have that running back like we did with Alex Smith. Alex had Jamaal Charles at the beginning when he got here, and then he transformed into having Kareem Hunt and Ware and Wes were really good that one year, taking over for Jamaal Charles. Like, he had some legit running backs at that spot right now. Now, you could say LeSean McCoy is a legit running back, but Andy's got to commit to him and utilize him and get him involved this week, because I think if you do get the running game more involved this week, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to beat the Packers. I don't think the Packers are an unbeatable football team right now, but you kind of have to play reverse roles and possess that football and keep Aaron Rodgers off the field this week.
The salty game of this past weekend was a Niners-Redskins, of all things. Kyle Shanahan was asked about his days in Washington and basically said it was, you know, being around my dad. Anything else about Washington? No. Everything else was not very good.
Right.
So that started it. And then there was, like, terrible weather and everything. Everybody was salty in this one.
Four-man rush. K's the throw. Heat for the backside. He's sacked at the 9-yard line, and that'll do it. Niners go sliding as though they were soccer players in the left corner of the field as the clock hits zeros. And the Niners are all sliding over the field. They're looking like a bunch of fools out there, Cooley. But they win the game. They win the game. Final score here at FedEx Field. Niners 9. And you know what? Redskins going to remember that one day. You watch.
Uh-oh. Redskins Radio Network's putting this one down. You're sliding all over our field in the rain. They're going to remember that for the next time they meet Redskins and Niners.
In 6 years?
Now they'll play, what, 6 years? Yeah, you're right. Like 4 years from now. When who's the teams are vastly different.
Who on the Redskins is going to be left to remember those guys?
The watch announcers. Out. That's probably it.
The Washington Redskins with their 3-13 teams going to march in here and stomp a mud hole.
Yeah, oh, they're going to remember this in years to come. No, they're not.
Of all the things that happened this season, they probably won't remember this.
You will rue the day you slid on our field.
You remember that 9-0 game?
When we scored zero?
I mean, they were playing in that crap for 3 hours. At that point, you may as well turn it into a slip and slide and have some fun.
Have some fun with it out there, yeah. That's what they
looking
did.
Like a bunch of fools here, Cooley.
Yeah, looking like soccer players. Was that like a shot, too? Was that like an across-the-bow shot at soccer players or something? Like, that was totally unnecessary.
I guess he was trying to paint a picture.
Do soccer players slide
in mud,
though?
They score, and then they go slide.
They slide into the corner.
Yeah, they go slide to the corner flag, whatever.
That Geico commercial, that guy slides around for like 17 miles.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Bosa looked like, except he was on his stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Bosa. The Bosa dive was great.
His celebrations, by the way, second to none.
That was one of the
Bosa's really
great celebrations of the weekend, sliding in the on the wet grass.
You mark my words, the Redskins are going to remember this one.
Okay.
The Redskins will remember this.
So circle the next time you see Redskins Niners on a schedule.
I don't know, though, because sometimes I undersell these things. Like, I'm super petty sometimes about things. Like, there are places that I've had, like, one bad experience with, and, like, a decade later, I'm still like, screw that place. I'll never
go
in there.
I get what you're saying about that. I've been that way before about things. But I ultimately think in 4 years when these teams play again, I would venture to say none of the 53 players on the Redskins roster and the coach are even there.
It's all just rolled over.
Dan Snyder going to go out there and slide on the field at Levi's Stadium?
This year's draft class, maybe like one or two guys might still be there.
Maybe Clem Haskins will still be there. Maybe.
I'm done.
They'll get over it. They'll get over it. They'll play again. I mean, if Missouri and Kansas can play
again,
everybody. You
will rue the day you slid on our
field. Everybody can get along, can they not? Does the NFL need a little zero tolerance, Fesco?
The NFL,
the story involving the Dolphins. Bobby McClain, their safety, disciplined by the team, got into a confrontation with a 13-year-old. And spit in the face of another Bills fan following Miami's loss at Buffalo.
Because that's what you want to do as an NFL player, is pick a fight with a 13-year-old.
What do you think?
I mean, in fairness, 13-year-olds are the worst.
They can be sassy.
Yeah, they can be. But you're also the adult. You have two 13-year-olds, right?
Yes. They can be sassy.
I've at least wanted to spit in one of their faces once.
With the way he was eating that cheese.
Gosh, just grazed on the top.
She brought that up the other day, Ryan.
That I drank the cheese.
She's like,
that she
which is the one that made fun of the way I ate cheese?
I didn't make fun of it.
I goes, Ryan, she goes, yeah, I don't like that guy.
I don't like you either.
I see you're fighting with a 13-year-old.
Fine, I'll spit in her face the next time I see her.
You're almost 40.
Bobby McClain of the Miami Dolphins does at a game. And
going to get a loogie to the face.
What a dummy.
Yeah, well, you're just a stupid
idiot.
You
can't do it.
You got to be an adult. You can't fight with the fans. But on the flip side, it is. The NBA enacted the zero tolerance policy over the weekend, where if you're a fan and you say something that isn't right, you're gone. They're not putting up with it anymore. Maybe the NFL ought to go to those extremes as well, because, you know, as the 13-year-old's yelling, where's mom or dad saying, hey, let's act, you know, normal. Let's act like, you know, you belong here. Or maybe he is acting like he belongs.
He does. It's an NFL game. Yeah.
It's an NFL game. But where are the parents on this one telling the kid that he's acting inappropriately at a game? Because that's where parenting comes in. You got to pull your kid back and say, you can't be acting like this. The player can't be spitting in the guy's face. But maybe the NFL needs to enact these zero tolerance policies as well, that if you're messing with the players or the coaches on the field, your ass is gone and we're not going to put up with this anymore. Because we're seeing, it seems like, guys, more and more of these instances with fans and players happening in all sports. I mean, you saw what the Yankee fans did to Zach Greinke over the weekend when they were in New York, and that was just appalling. You're seeing, you know, what goes on in the NFL from a week-to-week basis, you know, with fans yelling at players. You saw what happened in the NBA numerous times last year. I mean, fan behavior does have to improve. Players can't respond to it, but fan behavior has to improve. You can't continue to go out there and act like a fool when you're at a game, especially when you're a 13-year-old, you don't know better. But that's where the parents got to come in and say, hey, don't act like this, man. Come on, grow up. Don't act like this at a sporting event. Act like an adult. Behave yourself. And that, to me, the 13-year-old is to blame, because the parents aren't there trying to tell him what's right or wrong. But ultimately, the player can't react. But maybe it sends a message that the NFL needs to do a better job and has to find a way to have a similar policy that the NBA does right now.
You think we're ultimately going to find out this is like a Keith Hernandez story where it was just somebody opening an umbrella?
Nice game, pretty boy. Who was the guy who made up the story about Arrowhead a couple of years ago? Was that Terrell Pryor with the Redskins?
Well, it was never confirmed or denied that it occurred, but yes, Terrell Pryor.
So right.
He had racial slurs thrown at him.
Right.
Arrowhead.
Right. And nobody ever confirmed that, right?
Correct.
But I'm not saying this guy's making up a 13-year-old was spitting at him.
No, there's another guy who got spit on and said that, yeah, the guy ran up and spit on him following the game, said he and McCain exchanged words before the game, and McCain twice threatened to spit at the teen, once before the pregame warm-ups and a second time while heading out on the field before kickoff.
To spit on you. That's
about as low as you can.
It feels like I just do it.
This 28-year-old Dylan Wentland told the Buffalo News McCain's threat to spit on the team came after the boy shouted to the safety that he was, quote, irrelevant.
I will spit on you is what he said.
13-year-old used irrelevant. That's pretty cool. I guess it turned around and spit on him.
You're irrelevant.
Yeah, he does play for the Dolphins.
This
That's
half hour.
Pretty high class heckle.
That is brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We believe he's got this. One of his players knows he's got this. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.